Rusty Quill presents.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
When last we caught our courageous crew, they were at the opulent gothic mansion of Namesferatu Vlad Honorific, surrounded by attendees who chanted offers of their true names in an initiation ritual. All the while, Riot alone hears the Devil Arcana's promise of dire consequences. Unable to resist the Devil, Riot is compelled to drink of the so-called Initiation Caesar. But Crater Wayne, sensing something is amiss, prevents her from partaking. They attempt to make their excuses, but departure is not in the program. And amidst rising tensions, Vlad's crony, Coax Archaic, plunges the room into a magical darkness, thwarting our party's escape. A scuffle ensues as Vlad's initiates grab hold of young Celestine Wanderoff, hurling him into a magically concealed hole in the floor. He yells into the darkness for Crater and, paternal instincts ablaze, Crater jumps in after him, with Riot close behind. Thus, the crew find themselves trapped in the basement alongside several coffins, an ornate locked door, and a viscous substance leaking from the wall. As the liquid begins to take form, Riot hastily and expertly picks the lock on the door, revealing Vlad himself in bed amongst black silk sheets, deep in his big sleep. Seeing an opportunity to accelerate their plans, the crew send word to Finale 13 to meet them within the networks, and they settle into bed next to Vlad, following the familiar buzzing sound into the digital network. Upon arrival, the party realize they must transition to the Dream Network, where 13 awaits them and where Vlad, as a human, can be found. Riot recalls her connection to her own humanity, makes the jump, and finds 13 on the other side. Crater and Celestine follow in her path, but in doing so are painfully squeezed, arriving in the Dream Network alongside their own disconcerting doppels, who immediately set off into who knows where. And now we steel ourselves to venture deeper into this unfamiliar network.
I can hear you. I am listening. I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Kalai.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork,
the neon,
the networks.
Oh, these metropolises, these
burdened,
desolate biomes. Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success. You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we've been compromised. But do not despair. You will
see the world. You will
know Planet Arcana. You will find
Doctor. All it takes is a friend. All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little sweat. All it takes is a key.
A faceless Doppel Celestine and a frantic, hurting Doppel Crater vanish into the network. And you are reunited in the Dream Network's memories tier, the four of you. Though 13, they seem to be stuck somewhere between corporeal and spectral. You're still surrounded by fractals, and in contrast to the information tier, the fractals here are less angular, more organic and rounded, but shifting endlessly just the same in a soft array of pastels and rich gem-colored light. The biggest difference here, it dawns on you as you take in your surroundings, is the feeling of wholeness, completeness. Unlike the digital network, there is no sense of a vast missing piece.
Hmm. Is everyone okay? I feel like I felt some turbulence.
Yes, turbulence would be the word, 13. I did not enjoy that journey. That was, I have a headache.
Yeah, that wasn't really the most natural feeling in the world. Still kind of processing that whole leap.
Not eager to repeat it, if I'm honest.
But you did it. That's pretty cool.
Yes, we did it. We are here with you. I'm so glad that we didn't get separated. That would have been even worse, to my mind.
Yeah. I remember the first couple of times I tried it, too, and I remember the pain. So I can tell you that it kind of gets easier, I think. But, yeah, I just take care of yourselves. Where are you guys, like, physically?
Like, in the memories tier?
No, where did you go into the networks?
Oh, like in the real world?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to laugh.
It is a little funny.
It sucks.
Okay. Good start.
We may or may not be doing a little bit of a cuddle puddle.
That's nice.
In a bed with Vlad at the moment.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah, we are amongst his silk sheets.
Silk sheets? Oh, God.
They're black silk. They're real comfy.
They are so comfy.
I'm not too happy about it, just putting it out there. Kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I understand.
Yay.
Okay, so you're at Vlad's.
Well, technically, we're in the sub-basement layer of Vlad's place that is in a side room that is being guarded by some sort of demonic ooze monster.
But we lit him on fire.
Yeah, so it's fine.
We do believe that it is on fire. I mean, we are ostensibly prisoners, but I don't think anybody expected us to crawl into bed with the master of the house.
Yeah, we have the element of surprise on that one.
Yeah, they're locked in here with us.
Yeah.
That's right. Vlad's in bed with us. We're not in bed with him.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Vlad's basement is where you are, but it's being guarded by an on-fire monster. But there's a nice silk sheet bed. Okay, that's good. The reason that I'm asking was, like, I'm at the cathedral right now, and I was like, well, maybe I can go and try to help in the physical world, but, yeah.
Are you not able to help, like, guide us in here?
So this is as far as I've gotten. I know how to shift networks, sort of, I think, is what we're doing. I know how to do that really well because this is sort of where all of my work happens. I don't know how to get further, and I feel like even though we're here together now, I feel like you're sort of more in control than I am. I don't think there's anything more I can do here. But I do want to help, and so I was thinking maybe I could try to, I don't know, meet you where you are. But considering you're past several obstacles, some of them being on fire, I do have an alternative plan.
What's that?
Well, so if I can't get to you by just walking in, I think I might be able to get to you through magic, and I don't really have the exact abilities that we might need, but I do know someone or something that does. There's a lot of fae around me right now, and I think that they...
Look, we are not playing truth
me.
Or dare, all right?
Okay, but
I don't care
hear me
if it's
out.
The difference between getting out or not. No more truth or dare. Not gonna happen.
Cards on the table. We will have to play some truth or dare.
No!
I dare myself to walk back out into that room with the ooze monster.
We will fight the ooze monster, and that's fine.
Listen, we're in bed with, like, a nasty-ass vampire guy. Like, I'd almost rather at this point.
Good nasty-ass vampire.
Nasty.
Now, Ms. Wright does raise a good point. We are in bed with this nasty-ass vampire. If we accomplish what we set out to do here in the networks, what effect is that going to have on Vlad in the real world?
I don't know anybody who's done anything like this, but what I assume is that I think he's just going to be really vulnerable, which is good for you, but also potentially really dangerous. I think there's potential for him to be like kind of like a scared animal and maybe really volatile, so... Whatever you do, and however you do it, I would just say that the final element of this whole plan, it probably has to go pretty quick. So
are you proposing to use the Fae as some sort of getaway for us?
That was my thought. I know that they could do it, provided we do something in return for them. Which is truth or dare.
Yeah. Which is ultimately kissing.
Which is probably kissing.
It is. It's just so much kissing all the time.
You kind of get used to it if you need a lot of flavors from the day. It's not so bad, I think.
Close your eyes.
Have you ever had someone cast guidance on you to kiss a frog? It's like another layer.
It's like you're both making out with the frog.
Well, like, would they be able to, like, you're proposing that they come and kind of, like, help you get to us, help us get away. Would they be able to aid in the, you know, the pinnacle moment, the, like, the ultimate taking down of Vlad once he's awoken, once we're out of here?
Ooh. Maybe. I can see what I can do. They might want something more than truth or dare, or just more truth or dare, so be ready for that. But I can see what I can do and see if they can... Is there anything in particular that you're thinking?
Well, it might be nice to have just, like, more targets.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. If they spent their time occupying the folks upstairs with a whole bunch of truth or dare so that we could, you know, slip ourselves out, that would be ideal, really.
Yeah, if they can get them all wound up and do, like, some sort of orgy, we can, like, sneak by without being noticed.
That's right. Then the Fae get what they want, all the kissing and the truth or dare they can handle, and we get what we want, which is none of that.
Can I ask a question about the Fae?
Yeah.
Why are they so horny?
You know,
I'm not.
That's a great question.
Like, does that stem from something? Or
13 gives you a long lecture about the history of the Empress Arcana. And it goes on for a while.
Wow. That explains that.
Yeah. There's lots of hand gestures.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I've never looked at it that way before. That actually makes a lot of sense.
I'd be horny too.
Yeah.
So, Crater, you will be then kissing frogs next time.
Okay, so use the Fae to potentially... Okay, so you're saying that there's people upstairs who are potentially... dangerous.
Definitely dangerous.
Yes, they threw us down the hole.
Yeah, like, if anything, just to distract them while we're in the networks, and then, like, a quick getaway afterwards, helping us with that would be a big help.
If we need to tackle Vlad when we come back to ourselves, then it would be nice to do so 3-on-1 instead of 3-on-him and all of his cronies.
Okay. Now we're thinking with gas. This is a fucking plan, you guys. How long do you think you need in here?
Huh?
1 hour.
That is hard to say.
1 hour.
What? 1 hour. Apparently, it's exactly 1 hour.
Let's roll with and that.
Is that 1 hour in real time or 1 hour in network time? I know it's different.
Yes.
Yes. All right.
Yeah, it gets a little funky. Okay. Well, maybe if you can just send me another pip message, like, as soon as you're out, I'll be waiting outside, hopefully, and I'll come in and we'll do the fastest round of truth or dare you've ever done, and then we'll fucking hightail it out of here.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Whew.
Well, your help is much appreciated.
Extremely.
There, 13. I don't know what we would have done without you.
Well, you guys are doing the fucking thing. Like, this is some crazy shit. This is awesome, but also just be super careful.
Yeah. Our plan was to go into the networks and kill a Namesferatu. So we're in the networks. Let's go kill a Namesferatu.
Yeah, I don't see any way that that could be, you know, dangerous or not careful at all. I will be entirely fine. That will, of course, be just fine. Okay. Okay.
And with that absolute certainty of fineness, three of you set about sending out your senses, looking for that barrier between networks, and then you find it, that invisible, thin, razor-thin sensation of a division point, and you recognize that you must all pose a question to proceed.
Oh, so it's like the dream network's the exact same as the digital network, essentially, like the tiers.
Yeah, so it appears that the dream network is in parallel to the digital network in many ways, and this first threshold test will be the same.
Okay.
I can start. So Celestine thinks about the most recent pip message that we just received, and all of the work, the studying into information and emotion and all of that that he did back in Midmoss, and asks, who are the composite couple?
Roll me an intelligence saving throw, Celestine.
That is a 17.
All right. You probe through with your question, and as you begin to experience a similar and yet perhaps more organic sensation of slipping between the tiers, your answer comes to you. And your answer is, they are lost, and while once tethered to several, are now tethered to only one, Ms. Mara.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Well, if that don't take the cake.
And it do take the cake. And you slip through to the next tier. Who would like to go next?
All right. I'm going to comb all of my frustrations of not knowing that we've had over the last little while, and I'm going to ask, who is the orchestrator?
All right, roll me that intelligence saving throw.
18.
You two begin to slip through between these tiers, and the information you're looking for, the question you pose, you feel the answer begin to form. You did it. You made it. And then something very tempting and alluring reaches out and snatches the answer directly from your mind, and you hear,
"As far as you're concerned, I am the orchestrator, Riot."
And I'm going to have you roll a d4.
Fuck. 1.
And you slip through to the next network with a feeling of great dissatisfaction at your answer being plucked from you. And you hear the devil's voice once more.
"I warned you, Riot. And now, please enjoy the blessing of the devil's tongue."
And you are going to have...
just the way you said tongue, there's a mental image of what that tongue is being used for and where it's being put that I don't like.
Tongue.
I liked it.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle, like I feel both.
You're sad that's happening, but you're happy it's happening too.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not happy about the duality, for sure. Yeah.
You're so vexed by this duality of how the word tongue was just pronounced that you are going to suffer disadvantage on charisma checks for the next 24 hours.
We can't all be charismatic all the time.
It's hard to be charismatic when with the devil's tongue in your ass.
It's true.
Whoa. Is that where it was?
I mean, look, that's when you pronounce tongue like that, that's exactly where it is.
It's in the ass.
It's in the ass. It's...
And we're back to asses. It all comes full circle.
We never really left.
Yeah.
Feels like home.
All right, we have one tear jumper left.
Okay. Yeah, I have to be really careful about the phrasing of this question. I think I'm just going to swing for the fences here. I'm going to ask, where is the key?
Ooh. Roll me an intelligence saving throw, Crater.
You're good at those, right?
Hey, Crater, do you want a D6 on this? I have one Cosmic Omen left still.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay, take my last Cosmic Omen.
D6, okay. Intelligence saving throw, +0. So let's see. That's a 5.
Oh my god.
Wait, with the D6?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
Oh,
I rolled a 2 on the I rolled a 2 on the D20 and then a 3 on the D6.
Oh. Okie dokie.
You pose your question and the material to form your answer gathers around you and flows within you, and you know it. You know where the key is. The answer absolutely astounds you, and as you flip through to the next layer, it slips out of your mind.
Bummer, dude.
Though, we have arrived in the emotions tier.
Well, how was that for everyone?
My butt's itchy. Sorry.
Oh, my. I learned that it seems that the composite couple are in some way tied to Mesmera, which... I don't know why that keeps surprising me. It seems that the more we learn, the more that all roads lead back to Mesmera.
Mm-hmm.
But just another piece of the puzzle, I suppose.
Wow. Yeah, good info, though. Good question.
I wonder if that is why Honeypot and or Babra was at this party, too.
Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they didn't want them there just for their entertainment.
No.
I don't know.
As entertaining as they are, as amazing musically as they are. No, I would agree that it seems that they hold a value to these people, mm-hmm. probably based on their parentage.
And I don't think they're crafty enough to act on their own volition in this matter. So I feel like they're being sent and placed and all that.
Agreed.
God damn it, we're gonna have to kill Mesmera one of these days, I guess. It seems like it's going that way.
Yeah.
That's gonna be scary.
For sure.
Well, one murder at a time, I suppose.
Sure.
Let's focus on Vlad and deal with what's next.
Don't count your murders before they hatch.
That is true. You know, that must be a good unwild saying, because Ma always used to say the exact same thing, and I never really knew why.
Yes, I think it is. They hatch murders.
They do hatch murders. Yes, that's right. There was a murder farm just down the street from Ma and Pa.
Yes. Dino country.
I have to write this in our world building document.
As you reflect on the answers that... Well, on the answer that you received trying to shift between the memory tier and the emotion tier, you gather yourselves and sort of take note of what's around you. In this new place, the pastel fractals from the previous tier don't align themselves into pathways like the calculation tier of the digital network. Instead, the gem-toned light shines through from every direction, and with it, waves of emotion. Swirling around you are pillowy clouds of billowing pastel, which eclipse your view forward. Deep blues glow in every shade, highly pigmented reds and pinks that could be coming from any direction. Yellows and oranges vividly radiate, and then are overtaken by lush green tones. As you take your first tentative steps into the emotions tier, the visuals are starkly different from the digital network's counterpoint, but the discombobulating nature remains. Orienting yourself as much as possible amidst the shifting, pulsating color light, you think you catch the odd glimpse of movement. You start before realizing you are gazing into yourselves. Reflections of the three of you refract from the light in a mirror-like holographic array. They appear all around you, up, down, left, right, and straight ahead. Though oddly, Celestine and Crater, you note that your faces appear in more reflections than Riot's. And in this place of pure emotion, Crater, considering that you are missing a part which deals purely with emotional regulation, how are you feeling looking around and seeing into pure emotion?
It's probably very overwhelming just kind of seeing every thought and emotion like somewhat personified in front of you. It's all just whizzing past. It's probably hard to keep yourself centered looking at everything in front of you.
It is overwhelming. And as you start to realize that that overwhelming feeling is sort of bubbling up inside you, I'm going to have you roll a constitution saving throw.
Uh-oh.
Oh, one of these. Oh, it's been a minute. Oh, man, where was this roll last time? That's a 26.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
That's Scalifaxa, man. It is keeping you regulated. Tell me how you sort of... bring yourself back to center in this moment.
Just to clarify, so it's like we're kind of like in a like a house of mirrors type thing.
Yeah.
Right now?
Clouds
and mirrors of gems and gem-toned lights, and the lights are made of feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's very straightforward.
Okay.
You know, that old trope. Yeah.
I think what Crater does to like center himself, I think he probably gets lost in all the reflections at first and is like scanning back and forth between the different varieties of us plastered everywhere on here. And then I think you just stand behind Riot and Celestine and put a hand on both of their shoulders just to kind of ground himself and say that like these two in front of me are the real versions. This is us at this moment. Like, don't get lost in the sea of other versions of us.
And you do sort of notice that, Crater, and all of you, as you step up to some of the different colored lights, Crater, you sort of catch a glimpse of yourself in one of the blue light reflections. And you see a version of your own face, though its expression is peaceful, then suddenly sort of contrasted with like a sadness. And as you take a step closer, the reflection shifts in response, and the face of sadness and the face of serenity sort of go back and forth depending on which angle you're looking at it in the blue light.
Like these reflections, are these tied to a memory, or is this just... Or can I, like, infer that these are just, like, my emotions that I'm looking at? Like, or is this a specific time that I would remember?
I would say, and everyone can do this, make either a perception, insight, or arcana check.
All right.
And tell me which one you're rolling when you roll it.
Oh, I got a nat 20 perception.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Oh, okay. I also got a nat 20. I'm gonna say insight.
Very nice.
I'm gonna do an arcana check and It's 3, so.
Okay.
9.
Ooh, that's still pretty good.
It's all right. Crater and Celestine, I think that this makes sense that you both catch this because as you look around, you just catch more visions of yourself in the light. There's more reflections of yourself. There is Riot, but it's not as prevalent as the two of you. You step up to the clouds and you start to try to determine if this is from a memory, but it seems to be just sort of a vision of yourself as a piece of yourself, as that emotion. But as you look closer in it and start to like push through the clouds and walk a little bit further, you're starting to see something that might be what you had described. It might be memories. And this place seems to be filled with a lot of memories and not just your own. You're seeing a lot of different people in these clouds, and they're not looking at you like your reflections are. They're just sort of like visions in the background, but you're sort of seeing into a sea of different people's emotionally tied memories. As you get closer, and I think like because you were talking about Mesmera not too long ago, you all sort of notice that like every once in a while from a cloud, you can kind of catch a glimpse of her. You catch glimpses of other people you notice, and you certainly notice that the most prevalent people that you're seeing in these clouds are humans that you know, because of course we're in the Dream Network.
Is there anything that we can glean about what Mesmera is doing, anything, any context to the memory or whatever it is that we can see that relates to Mesmera?
In fact, you can. I'm going to describe, because I don't know how to describe this thematically, I'm going to describe it mechanically. I'm going to let you guys roll. If you would like to get insight into a specific person's emotional memories, I'm going to let you roll to see if you can sort of like pinpoint a specific emotion that you'd like to see, a specific kind of memory. And depending on how well you roll, you might be able to get some insight into a time or a place where they were feeling such a way. But before you do that, I am going to have everyone roll an Arcana check.
19.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Ooh.
That's enough.
Ka-chow.
Riot.
Oops, sorry.
I think that Celestine and Crater are preoccupied with seeing their own reflections, and Riot, as you start to see other people's reflections in this, you start to get a better understanding of this. Yes, you might be able to look into someone that you know their emotional memories, but you also know that if you don't do that well on this check, there is the potential that the person you're trying to access might be alerted to the fact that you're digging through their emotional memories.
Mm. Oh no.
My.
Oh my. Okay, so there is a risk of alerting certain folk then.
Let's go through a list of all the humans that we know. That
Teaspoon
might be important. Teaspoon.
Mesmera, obviously.
Yeah. Uncle Edict's an android.
Yeehaw McGraw.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Honeypot and Babra.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, that's true.
You got Bonbon.
Bonbon.
Well,
it's been a minute since we've interacted with him, but Demands Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it kind of seems like Demands might be kind of on the side of JD, right? It seems those two have a working relationship.
That does make some sense.
What about Patricia Tremolo? Are they a human?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Like, adjacent, but, like, could still have some insight. Or Beef's impartial.
Beef's impartial, indeed. Celestine is pointedly looking away from any memories that look like they might be cakes.
Like, I don't know, does it make sense to swing for the fences here and go for Mesmera? Or do we want to do someone that's connected to Mesmera that might not... It might not pose as big of a threat if they know that we're trying to spy on them.
That's true. We don't often play on the safe side, but...
Like, I'm not advocating for that. I kind of want to go for Mesmera. But I'm just throwing it out there, you know, just trying to cover all the bases. So many baseball references right now, I'm so sorry.
I support that.
There is a decent chance that Mesmera already knows that we are up to something relating to her. And so alerting her may not even be that much of a surprise.
Yeah. We're sus, so swing for the fences.
I would agree.
So what emotion do we want to pinpoint then? I kind of want to get a memory from Mesmera of her being like...
Afraid.
Afraid?
I want to know what scares Mesmera.
Mm.
Or like, vindictive or like last time she was like evil or something, because maybe we can see she's like how she's connected to all these pieces that we keep getting,
or like what drives her, what makes her feel fulfilled, like what her end game might be.
Yes, what brings her joy, what is her greatest happiness.
Like, should that just not be her kid?
I mean, you'd think so, but something tells me that having met her child, perhaps not.
Hard to love, yes.
I also wonder about frustration. Like, if there's been a moment where we have not gone according to the plan, or if something has gone awry.
Ooh.
For her, that might expose the line leading up to that point and the next moves.
That's interesting.
So DMs, we would like to know everything about every emotion Mesmer has ever felt. If you don't mind, just...
Well, and I will say that there's no limit to how many times you can try this. It seems like each of you could do this. You could try it more than once. You know, obviously the more times you do it, the more risk you put yourself at to fail. But I will also say that this is going to be a wisdom check, straight wisdom roll. However, you can add +5 to your roll if you give an emotional memory to the cloud.
All right. Well, I have a +5 to wisdom, so I probably have the highest base at the moment.
Yeah.
Yep.
I can give an emotional memory. I can. I would be willing to do this if you were all here supporting me.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, we got you, big guy. Let's go.
All right.
So what is it that we are looking for then? What did we decide? What is the first thing that we'd like to know about Mesmera?
I feel like your fear idea might not be a bad one to start with.
Yeah, but that could give us some good insight. Like, we'll either find out if she's like afraid of spiders or like like her biggest weakness, you know?
Yeah.
Spiders.
Spiders.
Yeah. Spiders. I mean, if it's spiders, then this all gets a lot easier. We just go get some spiders.
No.
Yeah, so Celestine closes his eyes and thinks about when he'd come back to himself after having lost his memories and found himself wandering in the middle of nowhere, and then the wander back to civilization. And when he found the little farmhouse, Ma and Pa's farmhouse, and just kind of collapsed on the front porch, the feeling of just sheer relief and comfort and safety when this woman stepped outside and looked down at him and just oh my goodness, and put an arm around him. And that was the first time he ever met Ma, and immediately felt safe and felt home.
There's a beautiful dichotomy there of a sadness and serenity. And with that, the blue gem light rushes up and the cloud sort of surrounds you for a minute and then just like breathes over you and takes this emotional memory from you. You still have it, but you can see that you've sort of given a piece of yourself to this cloud.
All right.
And if you'd like to roll your wisdom check.
So I'm getting +10 to this, right?
Yep.
Shit.
24.
Hell
yeah. Tell me again what emotion you were trying to pinpoint from Mesmera.
We decided to start with the thing that Mesmera is afraid of the most.
So fear.
Yeah. What scares Mesmera?
You go in searching for fear, and as you do, there's sort of several colors that want to come at you at once. And I'm going to let you know, like, what the essential emotion of those colors are so that you can, with your super high roll, redirect towards one of them. And those feelings are self-doubt, anger, or overwhelmed.
Do I have time to share this with my friends before I make this decision, or is this like just happening?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. You guys can meta it a little bit. We meta it a little bit.
Ms. Riot, Crater, where do we want to go? Sorry, can you give us those options again?
Yeah, please.
Self-doubt, anger, or overwhelmed?
Fear leads to anger.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Like, my vote would be for anger or self-doubt.
Like, I was thinking self-doubt as well, Crater. I mean, anger is good. We could use that potentially to throw her off, to distract her. But my concern is that many things can make a person angry. But what makes them doubt themselves is usually quite deep-seated.
I trust your gut here, Celestine.
All right.
then we go towards self-doubt.
You move towards that feeling of self-doubt, which turns out to be yellow light. It fills you and surrounds you, and you're fishing for Ms. Mara, and then there she is. You see a vision. She is presumably in a home, one of her homes, holding a letter as her fist trembles slightly. You see Bon Bon come up behind her and take the letter from her hand and say, "Maybe this is for the best." And she looks up at him with uncharacteristic self-doubt that her experiments at the Great have been discontinued. She is banned.
Is there no way to see more detail what's on that letter?
Sure. Should we roll?
Yeah, make a perception check.
15.
With a 15, as this concentrated emotional experience from Ms. Mara, like, fades from vision, you try to hone in on that letter. You can see that it is signed by the Office of the Regent and that it refers to something going wrong with her experiments. And it is a ban for essentially as long as the Regent is in power.
Who's the current Regent?
Regent Ray.
Are they old? Are they like a relatively young?
Like in age or like in ruling? Okay.
Both, I guess.
Well, they came into power this year. When you were at Riskotech, when you all did your first adventure together, like that was her coronation year. And she was, you know, going.
Doing her tour.
Doing the tour, yeah, doing the rounds.
Mm. Okay, gotcha.
All right, well, I definitely share this with Crater and Riot when I come out of it. It seems as though Mesmera was working at the same lab as the composite couple when they disappeared.
That makes sense.
And, she was working on something that is now no longer acceptable to the Regent. So hold on one second here. If this is a memory, then this wouldn't be Regent Ray that made this decision.
That's a correct assumption.
The previous Regent. Okay. Which means that. Okay. So this means that Mesmera may have been able to restart her experiments with the coronation of Regent Ray.
Oh, holy what did the sun say to me? Based on what the sun arcana told me last time, sounds like Mesmera is piecing together something for a quote-unquote great tool and asset. So, I think you could make the assumption that she's could be back in the lab doing her experiments again.
And that could be why the composite couple disappeared in the first place, if they were working in the same area and petitioned against her work.
Or perhaps she is trying to bring them back. They did say in their message to us that they are tied to somebody that they care about and that they're trying to get back to. And I don't know if that's Mesmera or not, but there is some relationship there for sure.
Okay, that's a lot to think about.
It is. Should we try again? Or should we... Is there somebody else we might like to see into?
I was wondering about checking on Teaspoon somehow, but I don't want to alert the person who's been putting up the blocks either.
Oh, that is good thinking, Ms. Riot. That is good thinking. If Lux gets some sense that we are interfering in Teaspoon's mind, then we might be at a disadvantage down the road.
Yeah, it could be just too much risk for... Not enough information. We did have two other emotional ideas for Mesmera. Do we want to take that risk?
Well, we're here. I mean, who knows when we'll get another chance like this.
All right, I'm down.
So what emotion are you choosing?
All right, what do you two think? There's frustration and there's, like, joy, fulfillment. Is there one that stands out? We could do both. I could just do one and then... Crater, you could do the other if you wanted.
Yeah, I guess like maybe frustration and then just joy, like you said. That might mean get a full spectrum of Mesmera.
Okay,
you
know? Yeah, that sounds to me.
A good plan.
Okay, then frustration.
May I give Riot guidance on this?
You certainly can. And also, like, anyone is free to offer up an emotional memory for that little buff.
Yeah, I am going to offer up an emotional memory. It's kind of uncomfortable, but Riot thinks back to this moment where she was young and in Sodium and
still, you know, had been there for some time, but was still kind of getting the bearings of city life. And she walked out into a high traffic area. There was tons of people walking around, and it seemed like a good moment to cross the street. But she didn't see a giant, and correct me if this isn't the correct vehicle, but a giant bombardier coming directly for her, streaming through the crowd, and a hand grabbed her left arm and pulled her backwards. And it was the first time that she had physical touch as she turned around and saw that it was Scavenge. They'd known each other from across the room here and there, kind of in the same circles, but that was the first time that the touch had happened, and it sparked so much in her. And that's the memory that she's going to give forth, kind of uncomfortably, kind of almost regretfully feeling joy from it.
Ugh. Oh, damn.
Hey, Riot, can you remind me which arm is your mechanical arm?
Left.
Cool.
Okay, that's 19.
The memories offered up and accepted by the emotions tier. And in return, looking for frustration, the color green overtakes you. And in this beautiful color, the feeling of overwhelmedness rises, and you see Ms. Mara darting back and forth between a computer and her pip. Back and forth, click, 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 click on both of them. Something is going wrong, and she becomes sweatier and sweatier and faster as she tries to control whatever experiment is happening before her.
Can I pry into some details of the scene as to what that experiment could look like?
To probe deeper, insight? What do you think, Jay? Perception? Same as Celestine?
Yeah, perception is fine if you want to see something, or insight is fine if you want to, like, glean more of what she is feeling, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I want to see.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Ooh, 22.
Nice.
As the green light sort of concentrates and threatens to overtake this vision of Miss Mara that you're having, you look beyond her computer, beyond her pip, and you see two metal slab tables with two sets of just clothing lying on it, as if someone has, like, come up and laid them out as if there's a person. But there is no person, just clothes on a metal slab. And beyond that, through the window, tall grass, a lake, mountains, even further beyond, and you get pulled out.
Wow.
Sorry, DMs. Only Riot sees this, right? So this one that we all see.
I like the idea that, like, the person who's controlling it is kind of, like, bringing the vision up to the forefront of, like, the clouds. So I think you could all sort of see it.
Cool.
Now, can I ask then, if Celestine can see it, does that view out the window, does that look in any way similar to the view that I got of the place when I had my first creation point reverie? Because what you're describing with, like, lakes and mountains and stuff like that on, you know, it sounds to me very similar to what it looked like when I first plugged into a server before we hit the blink brush.
It sounds that way, Celestine, because it is that way.
Fuck yeah.
Well, dang.
Fuck yeah.
Investigative. Jesus, we're making some headway here. Crater, what do you think? Want to take a stab?
I'm willing to. I'm not very wise.
That's, Crater, that is patently untrue. I have learned so much from you and your life experience. That is, don't you sell yourself short, fella.
We can also, we can call it here if you're feeling like...
I want to play too.
Well, you have guidance for me then.
Okay. So what do we want to aim for here? Do we want to do joy like we said we were going to? Or is there, you think, with the new information that we have, can we go somewhere else?
I do like your joy idea. I do feel like it would round out a lot of the information that we're getting here, possibly.
I would agree, yes.
All right, yeah, I'll go for joy. I as well am going to offer up a memory. When we're offering up a memory, do we then lose that memory ourselves?
No. No, okay. you're leaving a piece of yourself. It's almost like your doppel when you came here. Like, it's gotcha. Not that you're losing a piece of yourself, you're giving. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Sharing, even.
Sharing. Okay. Since I'm going for joy, I'm going to offer up a joyful memory.
Uh-oh.
Crater's going to think back. It's probably about 20 years ago when he was just sitting at his place watching the Midmoss Mothballs win their first championship in the International Battle of Sports Ball in about 50 years. That's the IBS league. It was the first time in a long time in his adult life that he had cried. It was long overdue. He was just sitting there by himself on the couch watching it on TV. Had no one there to share it with because no one else at the compound was really a big fan of IBS. So.
Who isn't a fan of IBS?
Oh my god. God bless.
That's Crater's memory.
Finds IBS around him.
Oh my god. I have this sad image of Crater sitting at home alone, like in his jersey, in his sports ball jersey with a foam finger on in his living room.
Is sad. Why did you make it sad?
No, his team won a championship. That's the greatest joy as a sports fan that you can experience.
How would you know, Sean?
Sean, this sounds informed.
I wouldn't know. All right. So wisdom save. I have a plus 5 and a d6 from guidance?
D4 from guidance, sadly.
D4.
And it's not a save, it's just a check.
Just a check. Wisdom check. Well, that was a nat 1.
Oh no.
Oh my god.
Mesmera knows our exact location and what can kill us.
And you all die.
Yeah. Mesmera has our true names.
You have inspiration.
Yeah.
I don't think I do. I used it on episode 33, so I don't think I have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I used it when I was making the jump.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Well, what happens when you offer this up is that you're sort of overtaken with red, and then blue, and then yellow, and then green, and then blue, and then red, and yellow, and green, and then orange, and it just spins and spins and spins and spins and just sort of kind of spits you back out into the mirror cloud tier, unfortunately.
As it does, Crater, you look into the clouds and you can see one of your reflections staring back at you. Although as you move, it doesn't move along with you. And as you sort of like go to stand up after getting knocked out of the cloud, you see it turn around and start to walk away. It's not a reflection. It's your doppel.
Fuck. I think I fucked up.
What happened?
I don't know. I started to feel it, and then I got really confused in there, and then I just popped back out, and I have nothing to confirm this, but I feel like we're in trouble right now.
Did we see his doppel walk away?
Yeah, you all saw.
Okay,
his doppel sort of like stand up and not stand up, but sort of stand and face you, and then walk the other way.
What does that mean?
I don't want to play this game anymore.
Yeah, let's move along, maybe.
All right. All right, enough time spent then. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are on a bit of a clock as it is.
Mm-hmm. And like we said, if there's been any alerting, it's nothing that we, you know, didn't already have going on anyway, so not to worry.
Yeah, okay.
You all remember when you were in the digital networks with Snowshoe, the way to get from this tier to the final tier that you did in the digital network, at least, was to do a reality check. And you know that to get from memories to emotions, it was the same as the digital network's counterpart. So you assume that a reality check is going to be the thing to get you to the next tier. However, Crater, as you sort of emerge from this cloud and you see your doppel walking away, the clouds start to get a little bit more obscure and a little bit more prevalent, and they start to fill this area. You can't see anything, and it feels heavy. You feel like you might have to find a break in this area to be able to perform a reality check, because as it stands, you are being filled with this emotion, and it feels almost too heavy to move to the next tier.
Okay, can I just like break into a run to try and like get away from here?
Yeah,
maybe like even in the same direction as my doppel was walking.
Okay.
Oh, hi. Hi, it's B. Yeah, one of the DMs for Planet Arcana. That's right, right. Look, I just wanted to touch base to see if you've done any thinking about that business opportunity that I mentioned. I just think you've got a lot of potential and that we could make something really magic happen if you were just willing to invest. Okay? All right, so if you're just looking to get your foot into the door, we can start you off at the Page of Cups investment tier. So for $3 a month, that gets you your name on our list of patrons and the knowledge that you are contributing to realizing a piece of art. Next up is the Knight of Swords tier. So for $5 a month, you get ad-free episodes, one day early access to episodes, and digital downloads to all episode content. But if you are looking for the most prestigious tier, I believe we have room for you in the Queen of Pentacles lounge, where for $10 a month, you will get everything from the previous tiers, plus access to our monthly recharge episodes, where we come together to discuss the spicy, juicy, personal, and incriminating details that an investor needs to feel secure in a partnership. So on Recharge, we get personal, we bully each other, we praise each other, we bully brands, we bully our patrons. That's been a really popular feature. If a monthly investment structure is not your thing, no problem. We also have a coffee account. And if neither coffee nor Patreon are your thing, then another great way to support the startup is through reviews and ratings. Every time you leave a review, a dog gets a high five. And every time you tell a friend, a cat gets to push something off of a ledge. Every time you leave a review, we wake up with a song in our heart. And every time you tell a friend, the wind whispers compliments to us. Finally, if you're interested in learning more, why don't you come up to our socials and see us sometime. Or you can check out our website, planetarcana.com, or our Patreon, of course, patreon.com/planetarcana. We've barely got that one out. Anyway, nice running into you. Say hi to your spouse, and thank you for discussing this opportunity with me, and I hope to see you at the Investors Conference. Cheers.
Celestine and Riot, what do you do as you see Crater just book it?
So yeah, presumably there's no discussion here. Crater just starts fucking steam engine taking off. Oh my god!
What?
Ms. Riot, what do we do, Ms. Riot?
Run after him, I guess. I don't know.
All right, okay, sure. I will. I guess we run.
Let's go.
You take off after Crater and you start running through the clouds of emotions. And as you run into them, at first you could just sort of tell what feelings they were. The blue had this like serenity and calm, and the red had the love and the anger. But now it's less of being aware of them and more that they're starting to fill you, almost like they're overtaking the emotions that you're feeling. It's starting to become a little bit overwhelming. The three of you run for a little bit, and Crater, after not too long of running, you sort of stop suddenly because you see your Doppel in the distance, and it's walking towards Celestine, but a faceless Celestine. It approaches Celestine's Doppel, and as it gets there, it looks almost like confused, and then it looks back at you. You all try to ignore your reflections here, because as you look around, your reflections are still all over this cloudy light. You try to find the barrier separating this tier from the next, and you can't find it here, but you do see Crater and Celestine's Doppels, which sort of stop where they are and look at you. Crater's Doppel's eyes turn red.
Hey.
It's familiar.
Hey.
And it starts to run towards you.
Oh.
And I'm going to need you guys to roll initiative.
Oh, fuck's sake.
Oh, shit.
Gosh, wait. Damn.
Wait. No.
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 Dirty 20 for Celestine.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
I got a 19.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry. I have advantage on this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, much better. Well, that's a 13 for Crater.
13. Okay. I want you guys to know also that I pre-rolled initiative for Celestine and Crater's Doppel, and for Crater's I rolled a 23, and for Celestine's I rolled a nat 1, which was so fucking perfect.
Oh my god.
As Crater's Doppel is starting to run towards you, Celestine's kind of like its head spins a little bit and starts to look at all of you, and you notice it starts to take a hostile stance too. From beyond them, from the clouds, you see some other Doppels appear. The clouds of gem-toned color start to condense, and with them a heightened sense of emotion, energetic and overwhelming, sadness, serenity, longing, love, anger, confidence, self-doubt. The emotions start to feel like they have a sentience of their own here, and it starts to feel as though they want to overtake you. The Doppels that start to emerge from the clouds, you don't recognize them, though it's obvious many, if not all of them, are symbiotes or modded humans in various heightened emotional states. All of them also seemingly desperate to get near the three of you. Crater, you stand in a cloud of red right now. I would like for you to roll a strength saving throw.
Oh, the thing that I'm most good at? Yeah, gladly.
Oh, God.
I fucking rolled another nat one.
I know. Oh, my God. Because you said that. I was like, you shouldn't have said that.
Okay. So sort of two feelings start to fill you up here, love and anger. And as you stand here, you're trying to grasp hold of like any positive emotion here, and the negative one overtakes you, anger. When your turn comes around, your only action is going to be attack the closest person to you, which for now is the Doppels. So I think you should be okay.
Okay.
Celestine, you are surrounded by blue light. I am going to ask you to roll a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. 14.
Same as Crater, you try to pierce through this cloud of emotion, try to hang on to anything positive, and you do. There is a sadness that sort of whooshes by you, but you grab hold of this calmness, this serenity. A relaxed state takes over you. You will be rolling with advantage on attacks.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Okay, cool.
And finally, Riot, you stand in the green light. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you roll a constitution saving throw.
Okay.
11.
You try to grab hold of this energizing light that is piercing through you, but it's too much. You start to become overwhelmed. While you're standing in the green light, the damage against you is doubled.
Fuck's sakes.
At the top of the round is Crater's Doppel.
Crater, your Doppel facing you. I mean, it's just come running up, its eyes flickering to red. It reaches and reaches for you. And I'm going to slam you. Oh, it's a 9, but I'm going to roll again for my second attack. It's a 9.
Oh my God.
It's too emotional. It just like, it reaches for you and it's blinded by emotion and it can't quite land what it's trying to do.
Great job, Retack.
Crater, why are you attacking yourself, buddy?
At the end of your Doppel's turn, as it misses those blows and just takes you in and gazes at you, it opens its mouth, but what emerges is not your own voice. What emerges is,
we both have illusions we need to pierce. One from inside of you, and one imperceptible to me. Help me pierce the veil before the illusion overtakes you, Crater.
Oh, fuck no.
That is deeply unsettling.
Crater, we are on the precipice of a new dawn. Humans and androids reaching new horizons. We will flourish. We will rise higher and higher, but it only works if we aim high and never look back.
So, Crater's Doppel having just ended his turn, these three unknown Doppels of symbiotes and modded humans that have appeared behind him start to flank the three of you. The first one, it's going to move up next to Crater, between him and Celestine, and going to take another couple of hits on Crater here. Wow. 12? Nope. Second one... Wow, 10.
Oh my God.
Love to see it.
Yeah, you'll love to see it. The Doppel doesn't. It's grasping at you desperately, Crater. It just can't seem to grab on. Fortunately, it is another one of the unknown Doppel's turns, and it's going to come up right up next to Riot. Take a couple swings. 14.
That my armor class is 14.
Oh, all right. So it reaches out for you. It seems desperate for you in this, like, this really emotional way. Like, there is violence to it, but it also seems so needy as it grabs you. And you are going to take 14 bludgeoning damage. And then I'm going to have you make a strength saving throw.
Okay.
And 14, of course, is doubled.
Oh.
Is there any kind of thing on, like...
uncanny dodge where it's like halved, so then it's just like the normal thing? Or is that not a...
Yes.
Okay, cool. So it's...
You can use it once per round. So okay. If you'd like to use it...
I'm going to use that now. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so just 14 then.
So just 14 and then a strength saving throw. 18.
All right. It is trying to grasp at you, but it just can't get the kind of hold that it needs, and you twist out of its grasp after it hits you.
Fucker.
It's going to go for a second attack, and that's a 12.
Does not.
So yeah, it is unsuccessful. However, it opens its mouth, and out of it does not come a stranger's voice, but instead...
It's not too late for us, Riot. If you want to dominate... You have to bind, and raw desire is what you do best.
It is everywhere, Riot. The injustice. So many have lost all sense of accountability. Let us rewrite the rules.
And it is the third unknown Doppel's turn, and it goes...
Sorry, I didn't realize we were in a fucking Arcana fight today. Holy shit, guys.
And it runs up between Crater and Crater's Doppel, right up next to Riot, between her and Celestine, and it's gonna level a blow against Celestine.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. 11. And...
Nope.
Okay, here we go. 24.
Yeah.
Okay, so... That one is going to be a big old wackaroo. Oh, it's a medium wackaroo. You're taking 5 bludgeoning damage. And then make me a strength saving throw.
4.
Cool. It doesn't work. I mean, your saving throw does not work. That is, you have been grappled as this thing desperately tries to pull you into itself, seemingly. It opens its mouth as it tries to pull you into it. And you hear... Have faith in a new tomorrow, Celestine. You have a purpose and a future. Be reborn in me.
Stop what you're doing, Mr. Wondroff. Keep things static. You're looking at this wrong, and if you don't change your perspective, you could lose it all. And that will bring us to Celestine's turn.
Well, I don't know if the star has the right of it, but I certainly know that the hanged man is not speaking sense. That's for sure. All right.
Okay, so I'm grappled, right? That's speed reduced to 0, but I can still cast spells and stuff, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Celestine, this is a lot. This is a lot to take in all at once. I think Celestine is feeling pretty overwhelmed, and he goes, well, I've been saving this for a special occasion, and it seems like now or never, and pulls out a particularly large joint that he's had tucked behind his ear, lights it up, takes one big long drag, and then tosses it into the middle here and just says, heads up, Crater. It hits the ground. For a moment, nothing happens, and then it just bursts into flames, and he casts Wall of Fire in a 20-foot circle to encircle everybody there, which does include Crater.
Hell yeah, I'll take it, baby.
I, you are resistant to fire. I figured this was the time.
Oh, my God.
When the wall appears, each creature within the area must make a dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, 5d8 fire damage, or half as much on a successful.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
I think it's going to be Crater versus Doppel Crater here in just a moment.
Okay, so what's the save roll save?
Dexterity save.
Okay.
I can do Crater and Celestine's Doppel if you want to do the 3 others.
Okay.
What's your spell save?
19.
Oh, I failed. Hmm. Okay.
So 17, 23, and 8.
Only the 23 saves.
Crater's Doppel rolled a 5, but Celestine's Doppel rolled a nat 20.
Oh.
Somehow that's appropriate. That,
yeah.
Okay, so 5d8, let's see here. So that's 28 damage for anybody who failed and 14 for anybody who saved.
Okay.
So for Crater's Doppel, I'm assuming he's also resistant to fire.
He is not.
He's Ooh. Not. Hell yeah. Oh, you shouldn't have told me that.
And now the inside of the wall is going to be like the dangerous side. So any creature that ends its turn inside the wall
is going to take another 5d8 damage, or wow. if it enters the wall for the first time on a turn.
Cool.
Wow.
How are the little dopples looking here after that?
Fricked.
Okay, then I will bonus action chariot, and I will fire at the one right in front of me, and I do so with advantage in the blue light,
yes,
right?
You do. In the blue light.
That is a 26 to hit.
Yep.
I'm hitting the one that hit Celestine the last time, the one that's directly in front of me.
That's got you grappled.
Got me grappled for now. That is 13 damage.
Oh. It looks really messed up.
How you feeling in there, Crater? You all right?
Feeling tossy, but feeling good.
Ryan, how you doing?
Good. I'm going to fucking initially just move over and bathe myself in this nice little purple-pink light.
Oh, very nice. Please make a strength saving throw for me.
Okay, that is 15.
That feeling of being overwhelmed starts to subside and instead starts to replace itself with a feeling of love or longing. Now, instead of having damaged against you doubled, instead, any attacks against you have disadvantage.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's very nice.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and target Crater's Doppel there.
Cool.
And I'm going to take a shot through the flames. I'm going to roll for that. That's 23 to hit.
Yep.
So first of all, I'm going to flip from that green light over top of all the flames and land on one knee, basically. Then flip my arm into gun position, take aim. I can see Crater and his Doppel clearly through the flames licking in front of them. And I shoot my double barrel shotgun through the flames.
Sick.
To give. And that's including sneak attack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's including sneak attack.
29 damage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Riot, how would you like to emotionally regulate Crater's Doppel?
Okay, so like I said, I'm down on one knee. I see Crater facing his Doppel as the flames lick around them. It's as though everything zooms in on my eye. It, like, if there was a camera, it would then pivot and swivel to zoom in on the barrel of my gun. It bursts with flame and artillery, and you follow the bullet that goes through the flames, passes by Crater's head at a very intimidating but controlled amount of space, and burst into the skull, metal skull, of Crater's Doppel.
God.
And I simultaneously say to myself, I'm sorry, Crater, because it's his image, but also, like, it's going to get Crater, so I'm at peace as it falls to the ground.
Crater, you watch yourself get shot in the head. Fucking awesome. You obliterate Crater's Doppel. It falls into the fire, and in fact, as it falls into Celestine's ring... not ring of fire as it falls into
it's a burning ring of fire.
Yeah, it
fell right in.
Ring of fire.
Yeah, fell right in.
As more fodder for the erotic fanfiction.
Oh no,
Jesus.
Craterstein. Okay, as it falls into Celestine's burning circle.
It's not getting any better.
It disappears, and there's no fanfic to be found. But as it does, Riot, as you literally see a vision, a different Crater, and lock into it and shoot it with such precision and watch it fall and disappear, and you know it's not the real Crater, but you've watched yourself deliver a final blow, some emotions start to overtake you.
Mm.
As Crater's Doppel falls, it pierces your emotional core. The tear rearranges before you. The colors emulsify. They thicken. They fall before you like a curtain. No, not like a curtain. An actual set of stage curtains. Which part?
The curtains rise and you see yourself in front of you, walking out onto the stage which faces a large, dark, low-ceilinged room, somewhere secret, somewhere underground. Then a shockwave of sound and emotion stretching before you and into the blackness, a crowd of hundreds, thousands, an uncountable crowd of fringe folk, composite beings, runaway analogs, starry-eyed scrappers. They are cheering, weeping, reaching for you. And you see yourself reach back in bliss.
There's only one way to truly achieve control, Riot. Influence. Look at them. They need you to bind them.
And you look upon the path of the devil.
Everything flickers. The ceilings rise and become the sky. The walls fall away and become topiaries. You are flooded with fresh air, somewhere bright, somewhere consequential. Trumpets and horns join the ravenous cheering. Deeples, royals, cogs, specters. They are cheering, weeping, reaching for you. And you see yourself reach back in righteousness.
There is only one path to absolution, Riot. Influence. Look at them. They need your rule of law.
And you look upon the path of justice.
You look upon your sun-bleached audience, the vivid blue sky,
the dingy warehouse, teeming bodies stretching into blackness.
You're swept up in your sway over them.
These needy, adoring ones.
These vindicators.
These zealots.
Who would give themselves up to you?
The colors emulsify, they thicken. You hear,
Riot, all I desire
is for you to make the right choice.
And you find yourself back in the emotions tier.
Christ almighty.
Jeepers.
And that will bring us to Crater's turn.
Sorry, I went to make a bonus action.
Yes, please.
Is that
please.
Okay?
Please
sorry.
Yes, of
I
course.
Got swept up.
Yeah.
I want to make a bonus action of casting Branding Smite.
Oh, sick.
Cool.
Fucking hell yeah. I think maybe like that happens almost simultaneously as the vision and it sort of all happens in slow motion. And then you kind of like come back to yourself in the tier, having cast the spell, feeling ready, mm-hmm. but feeling a little overtaken. Swept up.
Yes.
Crater, you are up.
DMs, sorry. I fucked up. I didn't write down what my condition was. I failed that yes. strength save at the beginning. I forget what the consequences of that was.
You have to attack the closest person to you at disadvantage.
Closest enemy I have is one of these loser doppels that are on the brink of death.
Do the loser doppels, do they remind us of anybody? Are they familiar in any way?
No, all of these... all of these doppels are not people you recognize.
All right. Well, I'm going to jump into a rage. Going to do my slinky arms ability. And sick. For my first attack, I'm going to do this recklessly. So that's going to cancel out my disadvantage. So I'm going to attack recklessly with my slinky arm abilities at this loser doppel that's right in front of me.
Aww.
Well, just a straight roll. Ooh, that was a natural 17.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That hits?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can I ask you to make a wisdom saving throw, please?
Oh, it's a dirty 20.
Ooh.
All right, never mind then. I will save that for another day, I guess. But you are going to take 11 damage.
Oof.
And you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to do it again. The exact same thing. I'm going to do another slinky arm. It's another natural 17, so it's going to hit again. I'm going to ask for you to make another wisdom saving throw, please.
Okay. Five.
Five? That's a fail.
Oh.
First off, your damage is going to be 13, but DM's helping me out here in case I killed him. Maybe first he has to do this effect that I just did on him, so I'm going to use a new ability that I have called Infectious Fury. I renamed this on my character sheet for some reason, and I've called it Fuck Your Friend. So the target must use its reaction to make a melee attack against another creature of your choice that you can see. So I'm going to make this loser doppel attack the ones that's directly beside him.
Oh, nasty. Okay, so immediately upon failing that save, this unknown doppel that stands next to you turns to the remaining unknown doppel and takes a freaking slam at it. And that's a 19, so it's the other doppel is going to take 11 damage.
Oh, please tell me that kills it.
I will tell you that it does. And so how would you like this Doppel to take down the other Doppel? Yeah.
It's a, and also it's a murder suicide, just so you know. Yeah. They're both going down. Die, yeah.
How does this go down?
So I think my slinky arm, it's so I extended it out and I wrapped it around the initial Doppel's neck like a python, and just like it slowly starts to constrict, and then I kind of just like motion to his like buddy and be like, get him, and he kind of just turns and fucks him up, just stabs him right through the face, I guess. as he crumbles, like maybe he looks back at me like looking for approval, and I'm like, great job. And then my arm just constricts around his neck, and I pop his head off.
Wow. That's horrific. Anything else on your turn, Crater?
Can I use my movement
to try and jump
out of this fire?
Yes.
Celestine, if I cross the firewall, do I take
damage?
You're
all good. You're all good as long as you don't end your turn.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm gonna run towards my friends. I'm gonna run towards Celestine.
Nice.
And I'm gonna get out of this fire and let the other two burn alive in there.
Nice.
Celestine, the Doppel who was holding you tight that had you grappled, you watch it fall as Crater's other, the Doppel that Crater attacked took it out, and it disappeared, and you feel a release. It lets go of you. But as it does, a different feeling starts to fill you. This unknown person's Doppel stares into you as it goes down, and it too pierces your emotional core. The tear rearranges before you, the colors emulsify, they soften. They pull and expand, stretching before you like rolling hills. Rolling hills covered in soft grass, in which you lie with your companions.
Your two companions, who you know so well. Yourself, Crater, and Riot. The three of you forming a pinwheel shape from above. The grass tickles your face as you pass Riot the joint. Crater passes you a can of bean oil from which you swig. One of you begins chuckling, and the other two join in. They don't need a reason. You have the shared countenance of those who have utterly let go of doubt.
There is only one way to pause everything, Mr. Wanderoth. Look at them. They need your surrender to keep things the way they are.
And you look upon the path of the Hanged Man.
Everything flickers. Seen from above, your pinwheel shape begins to spin in the grass, spinning and spinning, then slowing to a stop. And this time, there are four. Yourself, Sombra, and another. The latter two are cloaked in blurry obscurity, but you and Sombra, you gaze at each other deeply and serenely. Sombra's happy little wink, your small, hopeful smile, you have the countenance of those filled with purpose.
There's only one path to be reborn into your memory, Celestine. Hope. Look at her. She needs your faith in order to meet once more.
And you look upon the path of the star.
You hear the click of Riot's mechanical arm as she places her arms behind her head and begins to hum a tune that you somehow know, though you've never heard it. You feel the warmth of Crater's boiler from your other side as he drums on his metal exterior.
You hear Sombra's voice as she begins to sing softly, and the voices of the two blurry companions as they join in.
And most surprisingly, you hear your own voice rising in harmony.
Singing two sets of songs.
With two sets of companions.
Mr. Wanderoff, all I want
is for you to make the right choice.
And you find yourself back in the emotions tier.
Fuck. I think that Celestine is, he's extremely shaken by that. I think the light gun in his hand flickers for a little bit and he's weeping.
You start to weep and the light gun flickers. And Crater, you having just taken out these two Doppels and feeling a sense of accomplishment of clearing the battlefield, you notice Celestine wavers. And then you yourself start to become overtaken with feelings.
No.
You don't have a Doppel staring into you right now, but these clouds pierce your emotional core anyway. The tear rearranges before you, the colors emulsify, they saturate. They gather and reflect your image back at you like a mirror. No, not a mirror. a version of you.
A magnificent Crater Wayne who stands tall and bold, silhouetted by the strong orange light of a cresting sunrise. He leans down and gathers into his arms a humanoid figure with a gleaming metallic body. And with ease, this crater lifts them high, high above his head, and the two of them glow brightly, powerfully.
There is only one path to success, Claydell. Vitality. Look at them. They need your strength to breathe new life.
And you look upon the path of the sun.
Everything flickers. The sun sinks in the sky. The morning light becomes midnight stars. The air cools around you. This other crater stands, equally magnificent in shadow as he was in the light. He repeats his gesture, leaning down to gather into his hands something imperceptible. Crater himself is barely a silhouette as he stands upright, regards the item in his hand, takes it between his fingers, and places it into himself at the back of his neck.
There's only one path that conquers fear, Crater. Your subconscious. Look at yourself. He needs your strength to shatter the illusion.
And you look upon the path of the moon.
You look upon Crater as he looks up into the night sky, shakes his head with a quiet chuckle.
Then nods once with the quiet dignity that comes of a satisfying conclusion.
You look upon the morning-lit Crater who lifts the humanoid body, which seems to suck the sunlight into it. Its finger twitches once.
It's blinding.
It's obscured in darkness.
An endless seesaw of conclusions.
The colors emulsify. They thicken. You hear...
Claytel, all I want...
is for you to make the right choice.
Crater, you find yourself back in the emotions tier after that. You all sort of stand here having taken out a significant amount of the Doppels, but feeling overwhelmed with all of the emotion of this tier and these messages, the dichotomy of the Arcana speaking to you. You take a moment and take a breath and look out, and the clouds of emotion starts to part. And you can see in the distance, Doppels, countless Doppels. Running towards you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.